Gospel according to Luke.
Glory to you, Lord.
When the days were completed for their purification according to the law of Moses, the parents of Jesus took him up to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord, just as it is written in the law of the Lord, every male that opens the womb shall be consecrated to the Lord, and to offer the sacrifice of a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons, in accordance with the dictate in the law of the Lord. Now there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. This man was righteous and devout, awaiting the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he should not see death before he had seen the Christ of the Lord. He came in the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to perform the custom of the law in regard to him, he took him into his arms and blessed God, saying, "Now, Master, you may let your servant go in peace according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you prepared in sight of all the peoples, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and glory for your people Israel." The child's father and mother were amazed at what was said about him, and Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, "Behold, this child is destined for the fall and rise of many in Israel, and to be a sign that will be contradicted, and you yourself a sword will pierce, so that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed." There was also a prophetess, Anna, the daughter of Phanuel, of the tribe of Asher. She was advanced in years, having lived 7 years with her husband after her marriage, and then as a widow until she was 84. She never left the temple, but worshiped night and day with fasting and prayer. And coming forward at that very time, she gave thanks to God and spoke about the child to all who were awaiting the redemption of Jerusalem. When they had fulfilled all the prescriptions of the law of the Lord, they returned to Galilee, to their own town of Nazareth. The child grew and became strong, filled with wisdom, and the favor of God was upon him. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
I'm already missing our deacons. Not because I have to read the gospel, but you can check after Mass. This book of gospel is so heavy. Today is already 7th day after Christmas, and we need to ask ourselves, what is the message of the Christmas day? What we still remember, what happened on this first Christmas 2000, a little bit more than 2000 years ago? Today, probably the Christmas cookies are gone. Even maybe Christmas trees are a little bit dry. Maybe even we get boring of Christmas songs. But what must be fresh, not only today, but for the rest of the year and for the rest of our life, should be the Christmas message. And the most important Christmas message for us is that God so loved the world, the human family, that He sent His only begotten Son to be our Savior. And today we celebrate His family, Holy Family. Mary, Joseph, and Jesus. Throughout the centuries, people have taken for granted that the union of husband and wife with their children constitutes a family. For that reason, we refer to Jesus, Mary, and Joseph as family, as holy family. But with the breakdown of Western civilization, some people, they want to rename the family and marriage. I think that today, on this feast of Holy Family, it is good time, good day, good moment to review the basics. Let's start at the beginning. In the first book of the Bible, we read how God creates the universe, plants, animals, and finally, He created a man, as He said, in His own image and likeness. He gives our first parents this command to be fruitful and multiply. When God creates the woman from man's side, the man exclaims, "This one at last is bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh." And the Bible says, for this reason, a man leaves his father and mother and clings to his wife, and the two become one flesh. Now, in the Old Testament, we can find many deviations from this idea, including polygamy and divorce. But when they asked Jesus if a man can divorce his wife, He said, "Moses allowed divorce because of your hardness of heart. But in the beginning, God made them male and female. And for that reason, a man leaves his father and mother and joins himself to his wife. And the two become one flesh." Then Jesus adds, "Let no man separate what God has joined." In many other ways, and in many other moments of the Gospel, Jesus shows His appreciation and also how important for Him the family and the marriage is. For example, we know that He made His first miracle during the wedding in Cana. And when He met a woman who had been involved in a series of marriages, He told her that the one she has now is not her own. Jesus used this image of family, image of marriage, to explain His mission. For example, He prohibited His disciples from fasting because, as He said, "The wedding guests do not fast when the bridegroom is with them." He referred to Himself as bridegroom, and the church, the community, as His bride. not only Jesus, but also Jesus' closest followers showed reverence for marriage. For example, Saint Paul. He had no family of his own, no kids, no wife, but he taught great doctrine of marriage, that the marriage is a sacrament. He used word mysterium, the same word that is used to describe Jesus and his union with his church. Saint Peter devotes a good part of his first letter to instructing husbands and wives. And the Bible concludes with St. John's vision of wedding of the Lamb, Jesus, with his bride, the church. After this time of Jesus, we also have a lot of writings from Christian writers about marriage. I like this one that I very often use for my wedding homilies. It's from St. John Chrysostom. He suggested that young husbands should say this to their wives: I have taken you in my arms, and I love you, and I prefer you to my life itself. For the present life is nothing, and my most ardent dream is to spend it with you in such a way that we may be assured of not being separated in the life reserved for us. I place your love above all things, and nothing would be more bitter or painful to me than to be of a different mind than you. Today, we need to pray for our families. Today, we need to pray for husbands, wives, for children, but also for the extended families, for everybody who belongs to the family. We need strong families if we want to have strong society. Without good families, we can't have good society. During this Mass, let us pray for families.